Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
Well, we are looking at the title, Feeding on God's Word, and I do pray and trust that we sit here with a desire to know God, with a desire to know His Word, with a passion to get into His Word, and a passion to get His Word into us. One of the heartbeats of Christianity and Christian living is the Word of God in us and the Word of God out of us. But that doesn't come unless there's, first of all, an appetite. We all have appetites. And you know what? There are certain appetites that are not healthy. There are certain appetites that are very healthy. And if you have an unhealthy appetite, you keep feeding that. It's not going to be good. The consequences are going to be bad. The damage could be bad. And if you have a good appetite and you feed that, that's where things are going to go well. And in Christianity, we need to have an appetite for His Word and be able to know that this is a priority. This is important. This is significant in my Christian living. This is important between me and my God, that I may know Him, I may hear from Him, because as we have already stated, it is akin to eating. Like in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire, interesting, the word desire is a command, and it's an imperative mood, which means it is that, not a suggestion, it's that which we ought to have as an obligation. You desire the sincere milk of the Word, pure, unadulterated milk of the Word, you may grow. Growth comes through the Word of God. And so if indeed, as believers in Jesus Christ, we truly want to grow, you know, we want to grow when it comes to our spiritual stature, but we also want to grow in our spiritual maturity, knowing God even better. And then you can see, as we used also in Job 23 and Jeremiah 15, how the Word of God is equated to eating and feeding. All right. We dealt already with this by way of review, the components of Nehemiah chapter 8, observation, interpretation, application. We've looked at this and kind of put it up this way, kind of give you a graphic and illustration here, and pray that this would be our desire and our interest as well as the result of our Bible study. The essentials. You have to have a time when you're most alert. Again, we looked at this. It doesn't do you much good to try to do your devotions in your bed. But there, by the way, there are some people who can read and learn the scriptures by it sitting in their bed. There are those who better not, because they will fall asleep pretty quickly. So you're doing what you can when you have the opportunity. Again, this is part of my routine in the summertime, springtime, fall time. Select a place. Where is it that you can go? Your quiet time with God. If you have children, this is not the ideal. The playroom is not the ideal time for your own personal devotions. The office, you may get inundated. You go there, you're looking to have some quiet time with the Lord before you even start your day. That doesn't quite happen. So you have to have a time, you have to have a place, and you want to focus. You want to, just like we sang, that our focus upon Him. Third of all, we have a plan, and we can't just open the Bible, abracadabra, lead me wherever you want me to be, and that kind of a thing, and where the scriptures open, okay. So there can be some misinterpretations if you read just out of context, or read it just because you're opening your Bible and flipping through it just to get it done. No, there are a number of different ways in which you can approach the scriptures on a regular daily basis. You can see here. There are several topics that you can look at, or several plans that you can follow. But there needs to be some way in which you are having a particular plan. All right, here's where we pick it up from last time. Procedure. So let's take our Bibles, and I know it's a pretty lengthy passage, but Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40, who would read that? George, how about if we also look at Ecclesiastes 5:1? All right, Rosemary. And then James 1:19, Jack. All right, let's do this. Let's read these in a string. I'll fill in the blank for you. You need to approach the scriptures with a teachable spirit. Let's listen to some of these verses as we consider this point. Psalm 119. All right, so you see a number of different verbs that are used there, which the psalmist, he's not identified. It might be David. But nevertheless, just the attitude and the approach to the scriptures, teach me, inform me, instruct me, incline my heart, give me understanding. And so you see a lot of different attitudinal verbs that are used here in the approach to scripture. And therefore, we need to approach the Word of God with a teachable spirit. Let's look again, cross-reference over to Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. Yeah. When you approach the house of God, and he's talking about going up to the temple for their feast days, he said, you go up with a teachable spirit. Be more ready to hear. And that's where we, as we come to the church services, whether it's Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesdays, or even if with the children coming to church, we come more ready. We come to hear. We come to learn. And that a teachable spirit, that's a humble spirit. And it's also a realistic approach because we don't ever want to be a know-it-all. You don't know it all. And you don't ever get to know it all. I've been studying the scriptures for many years. I've been attending services for many years, and I still don't know it. And actually, the more I learn, the more I realize how much I need to learn and how little I really do know. Because the Word of God is so expansive. It is so prolific. It is so great. And I need to learn it. I need to know it. Not just because I'm a pastor, but because I'm his son. He saved me. I'm his servant. And how am I going to best live in this ungodly world that is saturated with sin and filled with unimaginable wickedness? How am I going to live this life? How am I going to live for Christ in this world? I need to know what he says. I need to know him. By the way, too, the approach of teachability to Scripture is not so that you learn more information, but that you are also learning God himself, knowing God himself. James 1:19. One of the things we have to do is be more ready to hear. Yeah. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. I think the Proverbs is filled with passages of Scripture in regard to listening and learning, as opposed to being hasty, impulsive response reactions. And when we approach the Word of God, I always do this. This is my practice. I would encourage you to do the same thing. Before you even have your devotions, your Bible may be open, you're ready to read, you're ready to learn, you're ready to study, stop and pray. Pray for God to give you understanding. Pray for God to minimize your distractions. Pray for God to help you in your concentration. Pray for God to just open the scriptures and show Him to yourself. Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah, it is. Yeah, and that's why here, when you approach the Word of God, you can either read your ideas into the Scriptures, or you can get your ideas from the Scripture. Every individual is going to have a system of theology as a framework from which they operate, okay? The key is, I let the Scriptures develop my system. I let the Scriptures kind of hone and shape my system. I don't approach the Scriptures with my system already intact and read the Word of God based on my system, because there are some things with my system that may not be quite accurate. That's where the teachability. And therefore, when you talk to somebody about the Word of God, well, that's not what it really means. I said, well, it's pretty clear and plain and simple. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, but God didn't really mean that. You see, you have to work your way into heaven. Well, what kind of a system are you approaching the Word of God with? A faulty one. Because that's absolutely heretical. And so there are some who approach the Scriptures already with a predisposed system. That's why I've always said, and I preached it a couple of times, you may have heard it or even taught it, when I come to the Word of God, I come with like a bushel basket, fill me up. I don't come with a microscope to pick out all the different nuances that are not quite right and then inject my system so that I can correct God to fit my system. That's a dangerous place to be. That's why I pray, because I have a system. I have been trained a certain way. I have been taught and I have learned. And all of us, to a degree, are the product of the influences and the instruction of others upon you. And if you have good, wholesome, godly instruction and influence, praise the Lord. But even then, the flesh can get in the way. And a predisposed position may come that may not agree with Scripture. I tell you this, in all of my years of being saved, I thought I had things down. I've said it. We were just talking in the foyer a little bit ago, preaching through the book of Revelation. I thought I had it all down. I thought I had the timeline exact. Boy, I was on fire for this. And then I read through it and say, Lord, You're blowing my system way out of the water. I don't know but I have to do that. Because otherwise, I am an unteachable, arrogant, spiritual, what would the term be? Proud individual. So I need to read the Word of God with a teachable spirit. I need to let God help me. I got to pay attention. And that's why, too. That's why you're at a place and at a time when it's optimal, where your peak attention span. And for me, that's in the morning. This morning, outside the picnic table, sitting there, I'm just starting the book of 1 Samuel. I'm reading through some things I've read a number of times. I see some things. I'm thanking the Lord. Hey, this is good. This is helpful for me. Because with leadership, Saul, in his leadership, there were some things where he did was reasonable. And there were things he did that was absolutely irrational. And I'm learning. I'm reminded. And so I approach it with a listening ear. And by the way, is God not worth listening to? Yeah. That's why when I'm doing my time with God, my devotions, my personal time, my God and I time, whatever it is, I don't want interference. I know my wife has sometimes walked through and, honey, oops, sorry. And I appreciate that. I told you the story about my kids and all those different things. But you need to come and you need to listen. You know something about church services? Let me throw something in here, and I'm not gonna, I guess I will meddle. When you come to the church services, come more ready to hear. And come with a mind that's ready. Come with a pen in hand. We put the outline in there so you can read. If you need to use the restroom, do it before the services. There are times I will stop a service, and I'm not hesitant to do this. We have a lot of, I've done this before. We have a lot of activity going in and out of the auditorium. And we don't realize it. But if I'm looking for a break, what if the pastor in the middle of the sermon says, you know what, I'm getting a little bored. Let me take a break. Let me go walk outside, grab some fresh air, and come back. What would you think? Sometimes the kids get up. Sometimes even adults. I just need a break. You know something? God's word is that significant, and the other people listening to the word of God are that important that I need to give consideration to them. I don't want to interrupt them. I don't want to interfere with their time of worship. Therefore, I want to be courteous enough to my God, so I'm giving him rapt attention, giving him the lion's share of my attention. Now, if it's an emergency, go. Do, you know, that's okay. But we can, it's amazing what things we will do. If I need to sit down, and if there's something like a movie or a television program or something, I really want to see the whole thing, and I have to go to the bathroom, it's like, I'll wait. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss anything. Well, that's the approach we had to have with the Word of God. And parents, it's good for us. And I tell our Sunday school teachers, remind your children that it's good for them to use the restroom before the service. That way, when they're in the service, they're getting everything. And everybody around them is getting everything. Because did you ever have this happen? Somebody gets up. You have that happen. You know where all the attention goes? I may be preaching, I may be waxing eloquent, and the Spirit of God is working. All of a sudden, all the attention is right there. Yeah. I'll never forget, we first met in our church planting in a fire hall. And one Sunday morning, the fire siren goes off. Now, the fire siren is about 15 feet on a pole outside of the building. And it cycles 7 times. It starts... and it goes back and forth like it. And I'm preaching along, and I can't outdo the fire. So I have to wait and stop. Okay, the firemen get in, the fire trucks start, and out they go, sirens blaring, and they pull around the corner and stop at the street, and people's attention were out the window looking at the fire trucks. I grabbed my lectern, I walked over here, and I said, all right, everybody look over here. Because I sensed the Word of God is that important. And for some people, the only feeding they're going to get on the Word of God is that 1 hour. And it needs to be optimized. And therefore, when I approach the Word of God myself, I need to approach it with concentration and listening and a courtesy. Even by my wife, she's having her time with the Lord. I'll call her later. I'll call her from the office. I'll send her a text. Hope she reads it, type of thing, you know. But we do need, this is key for us. We had to be like a Henry. This is a little, remember Henry? He's a little shop vac that people have in their office. It's a little size like this. And when they have to clean their keyboards or clean around the area, they use that little thing. Has enough of suction to take out all the dirt and stuff. And we need to be like a Henry. When we approach the Word of God, we want to just get it all in. And so we have to be careful, and we also have to be considerate, and we also have to be concentrating. Any comments before we move on? Do I sound like I'm militaristic on that in regard to the service? I feel so protective of the time with God and the Word of God. Okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, there was also a time and a place where there was such a respect when somebody spoke, you didn't even speak while that person was speaking. And you sat in your chair and you gave eye contact. We taught our children very early that I learned this from a fellow pastor. We were visiting their house and Christy was just little. And the young boy had something he did that needed to be corrected and came to mom and dad. Or mom said, look at my eyes. Oh, I thought, ooh, that's really good. I like that. So we started practicing that because, you know, sometimes if you're, you don't want to listen or something, what happens? Your eyes go all over the place. But if your eyes are on that person, that's a sign of respect, and it's also an opportunity to learn. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things in the years gone by. In our culture today, it's very casual anymore. And we who are more inclined to be, I'll leave it at that. Secondly, we approach the scriptures not only with a teachable spirit, but we ask God to give understanding to his word. Again, it is, I'm kind of mixing these two points together. I already pointed it, but Psalm 119, verse 18. Who would read Psalm 119, verse 18? Jim? And then how about James 1:5? James 1:5, Alex. And then how about John 14:26, Amy? And so we're asking God to give us understanding of his word. I think I've already alluded to this. But Psalm 119:18, Jim.
Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law.
Isn't that a beautiful prayer? He doesn't just say, open my eyes. He says, open my eyes for the purpose that I may behold, not just glance, I may behold wondrous things. You see the significance of that particular request? When was the last time you prayed, Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your word? Oh, your word is so precious. Your word is so powerful. Your word is so purposeful. I am looking forward to it. Open my eyes. I don't miss anything. Yeah. James 1:5. Yeah, and so if any man lacks, do we lack wisdom? Yeah, we do. We ask God, he gives it to us. Where does he give it to us? Where's the wisdom of God found? Right in his word, right in his word. Okay, then we go also, as we continue in, where's my next one? I have it off. John 14:26, which is also on the screen. Yeah. So the Spirit of God's ministry, remember, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you. His ministry is to help bring recall, to bring things back to your mind, to bring things back to your remembrance. And that's his ministry. But he cannot bring back what is not there. And so therefore, when we open the scriptures and we're sitting down with the Word of God, we're asking God, give me understanding. And open my eyes. Those are the things that we seek the Lord for. Since God authored his word, it's only fitting that you would ask him to tell you what he means so you're sure to fully comprehend what he has said. And that's why before I preach, before I even prepare to preach, before I prepare my message, it is ingrained within me that I need to pray and ask God because I am giving forth his word to his people. And I don't want to give an opinion. I don't want to give any Troutmanian theology. I want to give thus saith the Lord. And it's incumbent upon me to be praying for understanding. And there are times I must admit, and I will admit, I don't know what this says. I'm not sure. Here are three possibilities. And as I grow older, more ministry-minded, and get more experience, I will learn. And I have. I have learned things over the course of time I didn't know back 15, 20 years ago. That's because I'm in the Word of God. The more you're in the Word of God, the more you're going to learn. The more you're learning, the more you're understanding. The more you're understanding, the more you're going to be able to serve Him. The better you serve Him, the more equipped you are to live for Him. And boom, 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 all it goes on. Eileen.
Talking numerology.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't have the knowledge at that moment. Mm-hmm. All I could do, because I was so frustrated, more with myself, because I couldn't even debate.
Yeah.
That I had to walk away. So when you bring up, you learn the Bible, at least now I can, you know, as I'm reading.
Yeah. And you know, you're exactly right as to why we're doing what we're doing. Why do we read the Bible? We're going to come upon people like that. And by the way, too, the Bible says evil men and seducers are going to grow worse and worse by degree and by number. And that is even more reason why you and I need to be students of the Word. I think that's also why we need more Bible. That's why we offer the four services we do, because you're going to get more of the Scripture, so you get more equipped, so you're able to meet the demands and answer the questions and get into conversation when you are like that. This morning, you have to wait till this morning. I'm going to get right into that, because that is so key. You can never get enough. I have never visited anybody in the hospital who had an overdose of the Bible. I have never. Pastor, you got to come quickly. One of your members, they OD'd on the Word of God. You got to come. It never happens. I think the opposite could be true. Pastor, you need to come to the hospital. One of your members, they're malnourished. They're anemic. They're very low on Word of God platelets or Word of God instructions. We need to inject them. There's no IV you can get for that. So the doctor sends you home with a prescription. Read four verses and pray every day, morning and night. See me in 7 days. So, Nancy. Well, there are places like that when you will come upon individuals and they will have things. That's why the more the Word of God we have, the better we're going to be able to be to answer. And answer graciously and answer with a burden for their hearts. Because we're dealing with lost people who are on a collision course with hell right now. And the only way of rescue and the only way of deliverance is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. George. And then Jim. That's a good point, yeah.
And I have never memorized the book. I've read the Bible a long time.
Yeah.
And the Isaiah 8:1 came to my mind.
If they peep and mutter.
If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no
light in them. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, that's true, because even individuals, if there's no light in them, there's no salvation, there's no Holy Spirit. There's no full comprehension of the Word of God, and they're no better than the devil himself tempting Jesus Christ using Scripture out of context. Because the devil knows the Bible. But yeah, amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. And that's what the Spirit of God does.
When you're talking about praying before studying and all, yesterday I was working on my devotional for September, and it's like, Lord, not only teach me to understand it, but teach me how to tell others about this without leading them astray. Make sure that I have the right words. And I was off from work yesterday, so I said, okay, I got the time. I want to sit there and spend the day on this. Well, I'm expecting to get company. So it's not okay. Do I host? So, you know, I was down a little bit, and then I finally said, listen, I have this plan. I got to do this.
Good.
I got to work on my devotional.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What's it on? Thank you. So, you know, that led an opportunity to, because they're lost, that led an opportunity to teach a little bit and tell them what I was working on. But then I did excuse myself because you have to prioritize.
Sure. And as that is it, the priorities of the Word of God. That's why Sundays. I can get into a whole different, whole another lesson on that. Let's go. Number three. Consider the context in which the entire passage is written. This is so key. Context. Acts 8:30 through 35. Let me just give you what it is. Philip, an Ethiopian eunuch. Philip comes and told by the Spirit of God, go join this man. He comes up to him and is reading from the Isaiah scroll. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? The man says, how can I except someone guides me? The place where he was reading, Isaiah 53 of the suffering servant, where the sheep shepherd and the slaughter and the actual sacrificial Messiah is mentioned. So he explains to him Jesus. Okay, Acts 17:11, the Bereans were more noble. Or they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The word rightly dividing has the idea of being diligent, being able to cut and to know what the word of God is saying, comparing scripture with scripture. 2 Peter 3:16, Paul is writing, and Peter says some things which Paul writes is hard to understand, but nevertheless, there is a context. All right? I know I'm hastening a little bit because we're gonna finish today. Context. If you see this, it's very small. What would be your interpretation of this? You say, I don't have enough information. That's good. Because you need what? Context. You need to know what is going on in the surroundings. That's the same thing with the Word of God. That's why there are sometimes people can pull a verse out of the Bible and make it stand on itself and develop a whole theology around that and be absolutely wrong. Yeah. That's why there are so many different views today and so many heresies today is because there's not a comparison scripture with scripture. And context. That's preceding context, immediate context, and following context. Now, what do we mean by that? How many times have you heard, but the meek shall inherit the earth, shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's a great verse. Jehovah's Witnesses use that all the time. What was the context here? How about this one? People use this all. Judge not, lest you be judged. Jesus says to Judas, what you do, do quickly. I mean, you can develop a whole lot of application erroneously. James 2:20, this got Martin Luther in big trouble. Faith without works is dead. Part of the whole reason we have a Reformation, part of the reason we have the scriptures in a language we understand. How about Revelation 3:15? I know thy works, thou art neither hot nor cold. I'd rather you were hot or cold. So if you're not going to be on fire for the Lord, just be flaming out for the Lord. That's not what it means. Context. Context. Again, what is happening around this individual that gives us an understanding of the situation? One of the things we have to do is consider, what does God mean by what he says? We search the scriptures, we're diligent. 1 Thessalonians, test all things, speak the oracle's truth. God is not the author of confusion. This is the trouble that the Pharisees got into. And Jesus debated with them because they were operating on this out of context. And Jesus tried to put it into context. This is what the law says. They were operating on the letter of the law. Jesus was dealing with the spirit of the law. They were looking at all the thousand of these. They pinpointed down to 613, I think, 613 different commands. Jesus says, there's two. Love the Lord God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. And by the way, on these hang all the law and the prophets. And that's what the trouble they got into was because they took things out of context. Why are there so many different interpretations? Why are there so many different reasons? Because things are oftentimes taken out of context. That's why you pray for me that as I preach the Word of God, pray for our Sunday school teachers, as they teach the Scriptures, that we keep everything in its context. Now, here's the way that you help your understanding of context. You have to sit down, and if you're really studying the Word of God, and you can train yourself this way so that you don't have to every day sit down, okay, who, what, when, where, how, I got to make sure all these are in a row. Pastor Trump said I got to do this. No, you can train yourself so that when you are reading the Word of God, it becomes natural. Right now, you are doing certain things that are natural. How many of you have to work on breathing? You have to work on your breathing? You have to... Oh, reading. No, reading. How many of us have to work on our hearing? All of us. But that's something for all of us, right? So there's certain things that we're doing naturally. You know, when you get into the Word of God on a regular daily basis, when I sit down with my Bible, it's automatic. Who's he writing to? Where is this taking place? What is being used? Now, I have an advantage with grammar, and I love getting into the originals. When is this happening? Okay, let's go back. Who? Is it the individual? Is it a crowd? Is it a pastor? Is it a new believer? Is it a church? That makes a big difference. Is it Israel he's writing to? What? Words and grammar are being used. Look for what words are repeated. Verb tenses, pronouns, subjects that change. This is very key. You can be reading through a passage, he's got all present tense, and then you go down further and it becomes future tense. Whoa, that's the difference. When? Be alert for dates, seasons, feasts, time indicators. Is this early in Christ's ministry or at the end? Is this while the Jews are in captivity or in their own land? How is this theologically consistent with the rest of Scripture? Acts. Is Acts teaching that salvation and baptism are integrated together? Is James 2:24 teaching work salvation? With the word spirit, is it man's spirit or the Holy Spirit? Where on earth is this taking place? Egypt, Israel, Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, etc. These are all keys for when you're looking into the Word of God to be able to understand that. I see quite a few wanting, as far as the picture. If you want this slide, let me know. I'll make copies and I'll get it to you. But you can read your Bible. If you're not used to this, you can read your Bible with this right next to you. And eventually, you will train yourself to be able to do this. That's what I'm doing when I'm preaching. When I'm preaching, you get all this. And you can do this when you're listening to God in your own daily devotions. You look for connectors, conclusion, like therefore, wherefore. Explanation, like for, since, because, purpose, in order that, so that. Comparison, like and as. You read the book of Revelation, you get a like and as almost every other word. I'm being facetious, but it's all over the place. Because John's writing something he can't fully grasp. Because he can't relate to something that's so future that he hasn't ever seen yet. Contrasts, but yet not. You get conditions, if, then clauses. And so when you read your Bible, it's how many had learned English or when you went to Spanish? You learned all the grammar and all the syntax, right? How many enjoyed those English classes or those grammar classes? I didn't either. I was not a good student of English when I went into high school, and I just barely, you know, I didn't know what a participle was. I couldn't care less. I couldn't care who the subject was. When I got to Bible college, things changed. I started learning the languages and like, wow, this, because God wrote it in a language. He inspired not just the words, he inspired the tenses, he inspired the conditions, he inspired the context, he inspired it all. So we read it with that understanding. So I'm going to kind of put this up. This is the way in which you could try to do it if you want. You know, you work through it. That's why when you're looking at all these words, like, oh, wow. And they are significant. They are significant. Some of you have been through a lesson like this before. But when you're looking at these words, and this is why, Lord, and the more you don't get frustrated if you don't get it right away. And if you're not very good at English, that's okay. If you pick one of these out, you know, you pick one, not the things which are Christ. Wow! Let the one thing stick out. Now, this might be like trying to drink from a fire hose, but there are a lot of things which you can train yourself in order to get the most out of the Word of God when you're reading it, or when you're hearing a sermon being preached, or a Sunday school lesson taught, or a Wednesday night Bible study. All these things, the context. And the last thing is you want to retain what you read. Ooh, two last things. Meditate. What does it mean to meditate? Yeah, to think on. One of the words for meditate. Because you ever do this? What did I just read? I've done this. I was this morning. Once again, I finished my 1 Samuel reading. I'm going to the days of praise. And I read the verse and I read down. I'm all the way at the end and my mind was somewhere else. What did I just read? So I go back and reread it. And I get to the end and the same thing happened to me. I have to read it 3 times because I'm a sinful human being and I need help. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. One of the best illustrations of meditation comes from the Psalms. In his law does he meditate day and night. The day and night is a Hebraism, which means repeatedly, consistently. So we should be going through our days thinking on the Word of God. What did I read? What did I learn? You go out from this place on a Sunday morning. What did I hear preached? All these different things. One of the, again, see a cow by the road? All they do is stand there, look at you, and they have this circular motion of their jaw, you know. It's like, wow. You go, hi, cow. And they regurgitate because they're trying to get the most out of the food that they ate. They're chewing their cud, basically. They have 4 chambers in their stomach. That's the way we need to be with the Word of God. Bring it back up. If somebody says, Pastor, what are you doing? I'm meditating on the Word of God. I bring it back up. I don't want to be gross with you, but you got to bring it back up. Sometimes people journal. Sometimes they write things down. That's not a bad idea. My wife does this. I think it's more prone for ladies. How many of you journal? Just write down what you read. Because when you write things down, it helps you to remember it. And that's not a bad idea. Some people aren't prone to that. That's not me. I used to, and I'm not that way. Some people are, praise the Lord. And so there are helpful tools to that extent. Now, here's another thing that you need to do when you look into the Word of God. Looking at it with practice or specs. Again, you train yourself this way. You're looking at who, what, when, where, hows, and then that's giving you the context. Now you're saying, okay, what promise should I claim? Because you want to walk away with this with it in you. You don't want to walk away and leave it there. You want to be able to put it into practice. If you want this slide, I can give this to you as well. I'll make this up and put them available for you for next week. Last of all, look for opportunities to practice it. Like you were talking, Eileen, you mentioned, or like you were talking, Nancy, or even others, George, at work. I need to put it into practice. Now, I don't walk around, okay, where can I look at practicing this. I just learned this morning that I am supposed to kill all my enemies. That's what God said about the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and all those people. No. No. But here's something I think William Glasser, I don't know if he's Ed's relative or not. We learn 10% of what we read, 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, 50% of what we both hear and see, 70% of what is discussed, 80% of what we experience personally, 95% of what we teach someone else. And so those are things that are highly beneficial when you want to put it into practice. Putting it into practice. All right? Because you don't want to do this. The Bible says, he who reads and you think you understand, but you don't, you can miscalculate. Be doers of the word, not hearers yourself. Deceiving. The word deceiving has the idea of miscalculating. Now, in a certain society, if you're in certain mathematical places, this could be acceptable. If you want 1 + 1 = 3, good for you. It's good intent. It's like, oh, that's dangerous. Same thing with people. I read this, this is what it means. No, that's not what it means. That's not what God said. George, quickly. Yeah, that is true. That's a good thing. Yeah, because he does say, blessed are those who hear and keep it. The word keep can also be translated obey, observe, or do. It's like the cause and effect, Holy Spirit of God plus biblical application. The way you're going to be spiritual, the way you're going to be equipped, the way you're going to be the best servant, the way you're going to have all these things in your life, it's Word of God oriented. It is Holy Word of God based. You cannot, catch this for a moment, you cannot be spiritual, you cannot be mature, you cannot be a faithful believer in Christ without the Word of God. And you need it on a daily basis, and Satan is going to work and operate in such a way to try to keep you out of his Word. There's going to be more important things than Bible devotions, more important things in church, more important things. And you're going to come into those points. What do we need? I need God's Word. Why? Because he's going to sanctify us through his truth. His Word is truth. All right. I know that was a little quick, but I pray that it's been helpful for you. If you have any further questions on it, see me. But I'll get a few of these slides available to you so that you can have them. So when you're in the Word of God on a regular basis, or when you come to the church services, this is the way you approach it. Father in heaven, I would ask and pray that what we have learned, what we have discussed, would be beneficial and helpful. And that, Lord, you would guide us in your word. You would teach us through your word. You would mature us. And, Lord, give us a desire. Oh, an insatiable appetite for your word. And bless as we understand it. Bless us as we would interpret it according to thus saith the Lord. Bless us, Lord, as we would apply it, because we need it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.